This is Kanistra.
And Kisless.
Of World of Warcraft, eh?
And you are listening to All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to another exciting and thrilling episode of All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I am your host, Medros. Now, my usual co-host, Grace, is enjoying the holiday weekend in the United States of America. So with me, I have Chris, who is a fellow listener, just like all of you. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you for having me. Glad to fill in for Grace while she's out having fun this weekend.
All right, and tell us a little bit about yourself, Chris, so that all of our listeners get to know you a little bit better.
My name is Chris. I play Kriesis in the Pod People on Whisperwind server. Been playing World of Warcraft for 4 years now. Been playing since about November 2005. And most of my stuff is Alliance side.
But you do have Hordies, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I have three Hordies. I have two main Alliance players. Try to split them evenly, but I consider myself a Hordie.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. So this week we're going to have an interesting show. We're going to have a bit of news. We're going to have an interview, which I did the other day with Kadistra. And a few of our listeners were there to join us in the fun. Among the people who were there in the live interview was Stompolina, Kisless, Lou, Sinful Priest, Lunar Lens, and a few other people. So some questions from those people will be in the interview, and that will be released with this podcast. So do stay tuned later in the show for that. But first, Chris, tell us how your week was.
Well, you know, in the States right now, it's Memorial Day. So the first thing I did was go out this week and do the great American idea and go out and bought a new grill. And I immediately found out there is a definite learning curve to grilling things.
And how much of a learning curve would you say that grilling things it does require?
Well, my family saved a couple extremely burned hot dogs to show for my efforts. So better luck next week, I guess.
Well, the good thing is that you have a whole summer for learning how to grill properly.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to sure try.
And in our chat room today, we have a lot of people. We have Bluescar, Lou, Sinful, Satanic Puffin, and Sean Ogordo. And they are being welcomed to the chat via our new mascot, which is a non-combat pet squirrel named Chibina, which was named, as you'll know later, by our interview this week, Kadistra. Now, my week was great. This week was an interesting time. Outside, out of game, I got some new photography equipment, and I've been working with that, also working with some model stuff to try and get it all to look just right, and just to try and get some legal technicalities out of the way, which I'm glad to get it out of the way today. Got some new lighting equipment, so I've been setting that up, and I'm planning out a new studio, which is really cool, because as a photographer, studio work is some of the best work you can get. In-game, just kind of been doing my dailies, working up towards the 150 champion seals I require for my Argent Hippogriff, if I decide to get one. I'm still trying to find somebody who has one who can show me what it looks like when they try to land, to see if it looks just as stupid as my Cenarian Hippogriff when it tries to land, which is to say that it looks really stupid, because it doesn't actually land, which is a minor frustration of mine. Only minor, though, I promise.
I seem to remember that you already got the Crusader title, so you're exalted in everything now, is that correct?
I'm exalted with all five city factions, giving me the Ambassador title. I am exalted with the Argent Crusade, giving me nothing in particular, except when I combine that with the exalted champion of all of the five cities, that gives me the Crusader title, which I got last week, which is very awesome. I'm noticing not many people have that yet, so I'm very, very happy. And Bluescar, who actually plays on Argent Dawn and does like to harass me every so often, has pointed out that Bluescar is also a Crusader. So that's Crusader Bluescar on Argent Dawn. Alliance side, if anybody wants to come hunt Bluescar down and avenge me in the dueling tournament of the Argent tournament. Well, it's not my fault.
But even he doesn't know what the Argent Hippogriff looks like yet. I have not yet seen one live on the server.
I saw some. I saw somebody with one, but they were AFK. And I'm like, I can wait, or I can be late for work. I could wait, or I could be late for work. I might as well go to work then. But Bluescar actually also got the albino drake this week. So congratulations to Bluescar on that. Also, a friend of mine from Argent Dawn, Laura Betta, she actually just got exalted with Argent Crusade. She was already exalted with all five cities, and she is already a champion of the tournament. So she's also now a Crusader as well. Now, I'm saying that all these people I know have it. That's because a lot of people I know are really, you know, dedicated to what they want. I know a lot of people who are just barely starting Aspirant right now. just because they had other things they wanted to do. So it is exciting to see that the players are getting new titles, that there are titles that are achievable by regular players, and this tournament is definitely helping out. My druid is the one I'm working on now in the tournament for the most part, and he is nowhere near exalted in any of the cities, including his own. So it's really a lot of work, and it's really worth it, I think. So I congratulate anybody who gets their Crusader title, their Ambassador title, or the Argent Hippogriff, whichever comes first.
Yeah, I have three level 80s, and I'm really working hard at getting the Crusader title on my main. On the other two, I have dabbled, but it was mainly to get the weapons. You know, some of the Argent tournament weapons are really awesome for a casual player, or for alts. So I've been splitting my time among the different activities in the Argent tournament.
Yeah, I actually used some champion seals on the Teldrassil Protector, I think it's called, the one-handed axe, and it looks really cool, and it was far better than what I had before that, so I was really happy to get that, and it was only like 15 or 20, no, it was 15 champion seals, which is a really good deal.
Right, and I don't do all the quests every day. I pick up the three, yeah, the two badge one, and then I'll pick up the other one with the Scourge killing, and you can do that in like 5 minutes if it's a busy day and you can get a group quickly. And that's, what, 40 or 50 gold plus three seals.
Yeah, the only ones that I have the problem with, the commander I find is a really difficult one to get sometimes, and the Chillmaw one. I have seen it two-manned. I've seen it, I saw Tauren Druid the other day, one-man Chillmaw. And he was close to death at the end, but he lived. I was surprised and really happy to see it, but I still prefer to have at least three people, just for the fact that I'm still not that great of a tank, and my healer keeps dying every time because she's not specced into healing. So,
and the other thing I should say about the Argent tournament is having an epic mount is almost a requirement. There's so much flying around, and Icecrown is such a big area that it once you're flying on an epic mount and you move to an alt that doesn't have an epic mount, it's like being grandma in the slow lane.
Yeah, actually, when Laura got her epic, she flew, you know, got up in the air, flew a bit around, and she's like, oh, this doesn't feel very fast. And I said, okay, well, you stay in your epic and I'll get on my slow bird. So I got on my slow bird and I said, we'll race to see who gets to Zuldrak first. And I said, go. And I started puttering along, and all of a sudden she was zooming past me, and I'm like, now you know what an epic mount feels like.
Yeah, I hated to put the 5,000 out, you know, the first time, but you know, after I got past that, I was one of those people who went out and got the other 5,000 for my second character.
Yeah.
Once you have it, you can't live without it.
Very, very true. I got it on med, and I was not planning to get it on any other tunes. Then I got a read up to 70, and I knew right away that I wanted it, because I wanted the Swift Flight form. And then I got it on Talon, and now all three of my primary characters, Medros, Irida, and Talon, they all have Epic Flight, they all have Nether Drakes, and they all enjoy it when they can use it. Only two of them are 80 now, so Talon's still only 70, almost 73 now. He's only four levels now away from having Epic Flight, and I already have the gold set aside for him, so.
Excellent.
Speaking of gold, I want to once again thank, I've actually had a lot of really awesome compliments this week. If you go to the files you download for the podcast, if you look at those in iTunes, or if you look at those in Windows, if you have the right software set up, you can actually see that we have a new logo. We also have a new logo on the banner on the front page of allthingsazeroth.com. Now, Jamie, who's in Twitter as ShezCrafty, I wanted to thank her very much for her logo. I've had some really good comments about some of the work she's done for us. The last couple of logos she's done have been really awesome, and when somebody who doesn't even know who's doing the logo tells you that that looks professional, like it's, you know, $1 million company, that makes you feel really awesome. And, you know, she's been willing to trade me for what I have, which is gold in game, for what I need, which is a logo. So that's really awesome, and it's been really awesome work for her. And if anybody out there is looking for a logo, let me know. I'll be happy to point you her way and maybe give her some cash instead of some gold.
Yeah, it is a really good logo.
Yeah, and she actually did the Dwight Wolbush Productions logo too, which is the parent company that all my little enterprises are under. And I've been hearing some really awesome things about all of the logos she's done for us. So I'm really happy that I was able to find her and that she's willing to trade for what I have. And if I ever need a logo again and I have cash, I will happily pay her for it because she does great work. So let us talk a little bit about our sponsor, which is GoToMyPC. And they've actually allowed us to actually speak for ourselves. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about them, and then we'll get on with the news. Now, we've had GoToMyPC as a sponsor for a fair while now. They've been a sponsor for several months. And I keep forgetting to remind you guys that we use this program ourselves. I use this program to connect to my laptop or my desktop from one or the other, wherever it is. Whether I leave my laptop at home or my desktop at home and I'm outside of the house, whether I'm on a friend's computer or anything else, I use this software to get access to my files, to access what's going on my computer, to access Twitter if I can't access Twitter for some weird reason. Basically what it is it's a awesome, secure application for accessing your desktop. It uses top-of-the-line security. It offers absolutely trouble-free access to your computer from anywhere you are. So all you have to do is go to mypc.com/techpodcast, and you can try GoToMyPC free for 30 days. That's right, 30 days free. Just go to mypc.com/techpodcast, check it out, and let us know what you think. It is an awesome piece of software. We recommend it. We use it ourselves, and we think you'll like it too. So we hope that you'll check it out. Let us know what you think. Include it when you go on vacation, when you go to town on business, or anywhere you are. Bring it with you. Check it out. Try it out on behalf of All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast, and tell them that we sent you, because we'd like them to know where you heard about us from. So again, that's go to mypc.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial.
And now the news. From around the world of Warcraft.
The big news this week, well, not the biggest news, but pretty big news. 3.1.2 hit live on the Tuesday after we recorded last week. And while it was not a huge patch, it did have some stuff that some people may have noticed. You know, the equipment manager, you know, a small feature that was kind of missing from 3.1. A lot of the Argent Tournament mounts got changes between new skins for some, as well as some new price for the Argent Hippogriff that came out. And a few other things like some textures were changed. And there's a lot of really cool stuff. So what do you think about the equipment manager? Have you tried it out yet, Chris?
I haven't tried it out yet. Frankly, I haven't been able to find it yet on my interface with the times I have been on. It seems a bit hidden. And frankly, I've never considered it a big deal to change out your items going from like DPS to tank and such. So I've pretty much ignored it this week with everything else going on.
Well, I tried it on the PTRs when 3.1 was originally on the PTRs. And it's a decent system, but there are some small problems. It does have to be enabled. So you basically go to your interface folder. You would go under display. And you, it was on PTRs at least, it was over way on the far right side. The last option on there was enable equipment manager. And then once that's there, you'd have a little icon on your character screen, where you change your equipment and such, and that would allow you to go in and choose which, you know, basically make sets. Well, the problem with this is people have discovered that those sets, unlike what other mods do, they don't change with your changing of a dual spec. So for me, when I change over to tanking spec, if I was using the equipment manager, I would have to go and make those changes myself. I would have to make the change to equipment manager, which lags my system, and then I would have to make the changes to enable the proper equipment. And as far as I know, though I can't guarantee, you still can't edit a set. You can only delete a set and recreate it. Which, if you're going through Nexramas and you're tanking and you need to re-equip your gear every time, that's going to be a bit of a pain, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it seems to be still a little bit in the beta phase.
It does feel that way. I mean, really, I have not checked it out. As I said, maybe there was changes that were made from the original PTR that I was actually checking out, but I still prefer Outfitter at this point. And I had some issues earlier on with Outfitter, and some of those issues still exist. On my Druid, sometimes when I'm wanting to level a certain weapon, it will keep trying to change the weapon to whatever it wants the default to be. That's a problem. I understand that. I'm working, trying to work out how to fix that. But overall, as a mod, compared to Equipment Manager, Outfitter, in my opinion, is far superior. It will change stuff for when I'm fishing. If I put in my fishing pole, it'll change into all of my fishing gear. if I change over to my prot spec in dual specking, it automatically changes my gear and changes it back when I go back into the ret spec. That is what I envision the equip manager would be. Since it was supposed to be coming out in connection with dual specs, the logical thing would be assumed that it would work with dual specs. For some reason, Blizzard decided this was not going to be the case, and I think that a lot of people are fairly disappointed with that fact.
Right. It seems unnatural that you would tie a spec to an equipment list. The fact that they're totally independent of each other seems odd to me.
Well, it's Blizzard's system, and Blizzard has made a very good habit of taking mods that are in the community and improving on them. Changing that stuff to be, this is just like that, it's our version, so it's better. I think in this case, they didn't really go there. They didn't really make a better system. They made a system, and it could be improved upon. Whether Blizzard will improve upon it, I really can't say. And they're not saying. They're kind of saying, well, we don't mind, the community does better than us, and they fill holes that we see a very small number of people wanting. And I understand that. That's a very interesting perspective, and I don't blame them for wanting to save their resources for something that more players will use. But they brought in dual specs because a lot of people wanted them. Do they not think that people will want to change their gear with their dual specs?
Right. It seems so natural, but I think this is one of these things where we're just going to have to sit on the sideline and let some other people look at it and try to fix it, and we might get word in the future that it works.
I hope so. We'll have to see what happens, and it's really a matter of trying to figure out what they're going to do with it in the future. We really can't predict at this point where they're going to go with it, but it should be an interesting thing to see in the future of Warcraft. Now, there was some other things that came in with the patch. Now, the Mercimus pet that people who were part of the arena tournament, if you competed in more than 200 games, you got this pet by default. And apparently, that was mailed out this time. And I actually took some screenshots of somebody who had one. And, okay, I'm an Alliance player. As an Alliance player, Chris, I'm sure you know, you hate the Murlocs. From an early time in your experiences, you begin to hate that Murl coming at you in mass, don't you?
Oh, yeah. They're one of your first mortal enemies.
They're making them cute, Chris. They're making them cute.
Yes.
It's bad enough I have to look at plushies on WoW Insider or WoW.com as they now call themselves, but I have to look at cute little pets. Come on, Blizzard, I want mean looking things that I want to kill. I don't want cute little cuddly things. Whatever.
Yeah, I would say that's a general trend with Blizzard. All the pets are cute. I can't think of an ugly, mean, nasty pet at this time.
Well, maybe Grunty the Murloc Marine will look more violent or more aggressive than Murky or Mercimus or any of these other Murloc pets that we've seen. But ever since that first BlizzCon, I've been swearing that I will go out one day and I will slaughter a bunch of Murlocs just to get my vengeance on them for making me feel sorry for them. I kid. There's actually on WoW.com, and it's actually now they changed the name from WoW Insider to WoW.com because apparently WoW.com is a site that AOL, their parent company, had for a very long time, and they've decided they're going to use that name for themselves. So WoW.com, as they call themselves now, did have a post this morning about the Merbeans. These are little plushy, bean-filled little Murlocs. Have you seen this story there, Chris?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. I play Horde. I don't like pretty things. That's why I play Horde. I don't need this stuff.
Well, if you want to get revenge upon the person who has made these cute little Murlocs, that is courtesy of Amethyst on the Sisters of Loon. No idea what faction, but I'm sure that you will be able to find that person's faction in no time if you choose to get revenge for these cute, cuddly little Murlocs. Now, no patch comes to World of Warcraft without some small hitches, Chris. As I'm sure you know very well, playing as well as I do, the list of bugs coming out of this patch were a few. The first off, there was a wintergrass bug. Now, we're not exactly sure what caused this. It's possible that the changes to the quests in wintergrass caused this, but apparently within 10 minutes of a battle completing, which only lasted 5 to 10 minutes itself, the wintergrass battle would restart again. Did you experience this, Chris, when the patch came out?
I did for about an hour until they finally just turned it right off. It was really chaos, I must admit. It was hard to figure out what side you were on. Everybody was zerging one way or the other. It was real confusing.
Well, I must say that I was at work, this is the one thing I really like about working evenings, is usually when the patches come out, the servers are down until I go to work. So I'm sitting at work, and I'm on my phone checking out the latest updates to the WoW.com site, and it's just kind of sitting there being amused that I'm not at home having to put up with this stress. So it's kind of nice not to have to deal with patches in the same way that everybody else does. I kind of watch from the outside and observe what's going on in the community. So it's really nice to be able to sit back, relax, and not have to worry and be frustrated that these servers aren't back up or the servers are crashing every 5 seconds. But I can understand from a player's perspective how that must be very frustrating. In the end, Blizzard is really trying to get a handle on this, I hope. I would like to believe they are, and I'm hoping they will. One of the other bugs that we saw was that those who were using authenticators, like this little one I have here for those in the chat room, well, we couldn't log in. We could not log in at all. And Blizzard did fix this fairly quickly, but it was still a fairly big problem. They did disable the Wintergrasp thing. I'm very happy they did not decide to disable the authenticators, because I, for one, having already purchased one, would have been very, very upset. Wouldn't you?
Right. One of the reasons, I have an iPhone, so when the authenticator program came out, I was kind of hesitant to do it because based on some feedbacks from some of my guildmates, you know, there was many problems with the Blizzard.net authenticator in terms of logging into the game. So I gave it 2 or 3 weeks and decided, okay, I'm gonna take the jump in, and here a month later, I can't get into the game for a whole afternoon. So
I have to think Blizzard's trying to fix these problems. They can't be something they want to see on a regular basis, but sometimes you just can't really fight it. Sometimes there are going to be problems and there will be issues. I would much rather have, you know, an afternoon of not being able to log in than having the opportunity for somebody to have my account hacked, steal all my stuff, and Blizzard have absolutely nothing they can do to fix it.
Yes, if I can't get in, certainly anybody trying to steal my information is not going to be able to get in either.
Very true. Now, before we do continue on with the next few stories in our news lineup here, I did want to play now. It's our interview that I did with our good friend Kadistra. She is the comic artist behind the WoW A comic. That's WOWEH.com. And it's a very awesome comic. It's very amusing. It is very much worth the time to go and read. Now, for those of you who have not been perhaps listening to the last several episodes of All Things Azeroth, you will probably not know that Kadistra was the winner, or her print was not, well, not really the winner. The kids were the winner, but her print got the highest bid in the Child's Play Children's Auction that Brigwin over at the Hunter's Lodge put out. So for those of you who don't know, her print, which is an amazing print, apparently this thing came out at 20 by 30. That's 20 inches by 30 inches. For a print, that's huge. And I've not held it in my hands like she has, but according to what she said, it's really awesome. So let me play that for you now, and we will be back shortly after this interview is over. It's about a 20-minute interview, so stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a few. So with me today, I've got Kadistra, who is the very awesome artist, even though she may not admit it herself, behind the WoW A comic. That's W-O-W-E-H, because for those who don't already know, you're Canadian, right, Kadistra?
Yep.
So, Kadistra, tell us about your comic.
Well, World of Warcraft A is two real-life, or at least in-game characters, of Kadistra, the Tauren Druid, and Kislas, the Blood Elf Paladin. It started out as a bit of a joke, considering that, I mean, I've been gaming just in general for many years, and Canada never exists as a country in any games. There's always all the Splinter Cells and everything. So I was like, oh, blah, blah, the United States is so great. And it's like, well, hey, hello, Canada here. So that's kind of how the general idea of it started.
Okay, so how long have you been doing the comic itself?
The comic itself started October of last year, so October of this year, it'll be a year old.
Okay, so tell us what it's like to draw a comic based on WoW in the current, you know, worry about. Do you worry about being told to shut down because your comic's too close to what WoW is actually like?
No, honestly, because probably my naivety, I'd like to think that the comic itself is a parody. I am not, at this present time, making any money. I mean, the whole thing with Shakes and Fidget was really unfortunate, but they also danced across a very fine line, at least, again, please to my understanding, that the company that bought Shakes and Fidget was like, no, everything in this comic is ours, you know, nobody else owns it. And Blizzard was like, uh-huh, wait a second, that's actually our property. So I am not ever claiming that, you know, the world or anything, the concept of Blood Elves, of Tauren, of everything are mine. I'm totally aware that they're Blizzards and they're credited on every single comic.
Okay. You got a lot of prominence recently from the charity auction that Brigwyn at the Hunter's Lodge did. Now, what was the final amount of the print that you donated for that auction?
$520.
And the next closest on that auction was WoW Insider Show for $495 or so?
Yes, I think so. $495 or $485 or something like that.
Okay, so needless to say, out of everybody who donated something, including the All Things Azeroth podcast, you blew everybody else out of the water. How did that feel to have your art validated like that?
Goddamn-diculous, that's how it felt. I really honestly, when Brigwyn first contacted me about it, and he's all like, hey, can you make a print? I was thinking like, wow, I'll probably make like $50 for the auction. Yeah! So, and even in the last stretch, because I actually went to bed before the 20 minutes before my auction was done. And when I tweeted that, you know, help me beat WoW Insider, it was total BS. It was a total joke. I was, at that point, I was already blown away that it had made so much money. But then when I woke up the next morning and everyone's like, did you see how much your print went for? And I like, wow, I didn't know what to think, except people are crazy.
And you'll note that actually the WoW Insider account actually retweeted your Let's Beat WoW Insider post.
Yes, which I thought was very cute.
Very, very, very gamesman of them, I suppose.
Yeah.
So tell us about the print that you decided to donate.
Making the print, it was a bit of a crazy undertaking. The original idea, Go Ahead and Laugh, was supposed to be like some kind of a tea party or a slumber party or something like that with Kisless and Kadistra. But then I was thinking, well, I don't know how appropriate that is. It, don't worry, it's mine out of the gutter, everybody. The print itself, though, I mean, it's, I have about 2 pages of thumbnails where I just kind of threw ideas out, you know, pulled them out of nowhere, scribbled them out, finally decided on what I liked, then I started painting. The process itself, I'm still, like, at the absolute beginner stage of being a digital painter. I'm an animator and a sketch artist, so for me to actually sit down and paint something, digitally or otherwise, is something that I don't have a lot of training or experience with. So, well, when I said it was 65 hours on my DeviantArt page, I'm not kidding. There was a lot of times I was up till, you know, 1, 2, 3... had to work, but and also I made the incredibly stupid mistake of working from day one on a 300 dpi image, so it was massive, like a gigantic file. But actually yesterday I went down to Staples with Kisless actually, and we got it printed out on like a 20 by 30 poster, and I have to say at that moment it was really incredible to see it like all printed out in all of its magical Hewlett Packard Vivera inks. And yeah, it turned out to be a lot bigger than I thought it would be, but it was very satisfying.
20 by 30. That's a massive print.
Yeah, which was funny because I'm sitting here working in Photoshop CS3 like, okay, it's, I actually made it to be A4, which is like a little bit bigger, I think, than legal size paper. So that's what I originally made it out to be. But Photoshop, I guess, kind of knew what it was doing and always resized it whenever I checked the image size. But when I actually brought it to Staples, and they had their little crappy Adobe image viewer or whatever it was. It was like, the original size was like 48 by 30 something. It was crazy. I had no idea it was that big. So we managed to squish it down, and it's still in proportion and everything like that on a medium-sized photo paper.
Yeah, the print that I donated was 8 by 10. I'm now feeling that I was slightly slightly jipping the person who won mine, but all right.
Don't worry about it. I mean, I don't know anything about photography, but I'm like, it looked beautiful from what I saw your thumbnail. So believe me, the image was not intended to be that stupidly gargantuan.
So can you let us know who did win the print, or did they choose not to be said who won?
They requested that their name not be divulged. And also, unless per requested by Brigwyn, it's not really any of my business to say, but yeah.
Okay, well,
I don't handle the business, I just supplied it.
For those of us who are fans of your art, and I know there's many of us, when can we purchase our own copies of prints by Kadistra?
I'm hoping maybe mid to late-ish summer. The biggest thing, the biggest hurdle is the Anime Evolution prints that I'm doing. Once those are all colored and finished and out, then that'll be opening the floor for me to actually, I've got like my own little stack of work for other people whom, again, I won't name. I want to do that first, and then there's the potential of me doing badges for BlizzCon, so I'll have to look into that, and then hopefully kind of open the floor for commissions. Soon, though, I'm very, very sorry. I hate being this busy, but...
Well, if you ever decide to print out the winner's print into a little slightly smaller version, I would be very happy to purchase one, though I'm not sure I could pay $500 for it.
As for that one, because, like, I'm talking about, you know, custom commission work, as for the Child's Play one, I don't actually think I'm going to make another physical print of it, even if it's not signed, because God knows my signature is not worth $520, but just to kind of keep it like a one-of-a-kind authenticity. If I know that sounds really silly, but I just want to keep it fair to the buyer who spent that much money on that kind of a print. But
of course.
Maybe I'll talk to the buyer later on and see what he thinks about that idea.
Okay, so we did have one question here from the chat room. So, Kadistra, have you been inspired to draw Kisless because of her real-life person's awesomeness?
Yes. Real-life Kisless is awesome. Not maybe she's not able to, like, you know, drop kick. Very awesome and lovely.
Okay. So what do you plan to do with your comic? Do you plan to keep it, you know, just a weekly comic? Or is there ever going to be an opportunity for us to see maybe once every 2 or 3 days version of the WoW A comic?
As for now, the comic is going to be once a week. I've actually kind of timed it out into like a very perfect but tenuous work schedule. I actually work on the comic at my lunch breaks at my job. And then I spend Sunday coloring the whole thing. As long as people like the iteration of it now, where it's like a full one page with color, it's only going to be one page a week. My full-time job is minimum 45 hours a week, so there's absolutely no way that I could do more than one page. Potentially, if I cut out color, then maybe 2 pages a week, but I don't know. Everyone says that they like it with colors.
So right now on the comic, you are in the middle of a unique thing for you, said, where it is your first actual storyline, like an actual arc storyline. How are you enjoying that?
It's fun, actually. I have to give a ton of credit to Kisless. She actually helped me co-write a lot of it, because the idea for the storyline actually came from a lot of earlier questions of people going like, well, okay, wait a minute, like, a Tauren and a Blood Elf, like, what's going on? What's the connection? I mean, if you look at it lore-wise, they're two very different races, two incredibly different cultures, belief systems, everything. So it's like, why are they all, like, hanging around going on crazy after-school adventures? So we sat down one evening and just kind of wrote out this whole storyline. It's like, this is what they see in each other as friends and, you know, traveling companions and all that good stuff.
So is there any specific comic from the site that you find... or you think is your most favorite, the one you really enjoyed creating?
I'm probably the worst person to ask because I'm an artist, and after like 3 weeks of something, I'll be like, oh, that's crap. I can't believe I drew that. I have to say, I'm really enjoying the story arc and probably the Moose comic. The Moose one was really fun. Incredibly stupid and silly, but still fun nonetheless.
Yeah, I have to say that one is the one that comes to mind as my favorite silly comic from your site. I really, really enjoyed that. Because, I mean, I've played a druid for 2.5 years now as my second tune. And it's really funny just to imagine what could a druid be if they could be any form.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to get onto a very serious topic here.
Okay.
Those of us on Twitter, we're very concerned about you and your love affair with an old god.
Oh, God.
Tell us about Yogg-Saron.
Oh my god, Kadistra, the E-True Hollywood story. I wouldn't call it a love affair as much as the cute little guy would like to think so. I think it's more of an affection sort of thing, despite everyone's jeers and jokes and everything in between. It's just kind of a fun Twitter role-playing. Yogg-Saron has turned from the, you know, fearsome old god of death, you know, the one who helps place the curse of the flesh upon the beings that walk the earth now and, you know, driven entire races into insanity and to eat their own fingers and all sorts of wacky stuff like that. And now he's this hapless little stuffed animal who enjoys getting cuddled, but probably a little bit too much. But it's all, I don't know, it's really funny. I find it all to be very sweet and innocent, and Kidisra herself is so kind of oblivious to stuff like that. She's so kind of shy and conservative herself that she she's just like, oh, he's so cute, a little stuffed animal. Well, I can't really speak for Yagi.
Well, tell me, what did it feel like to actually see Gracier's Yogg-Saron plushie?
I couldn't believe it. I was very flattered and very, very happy. I was really surprised that somebody had put that much work and time and effort into something that, like, a doodle that, you know, I kind of pulled out of my ass and spent 15 minutes doing on a lunch break spawned this, like, incredible wow craze of plush Yogg-Saron.
So have you ordered your own Cuddle Me Yagi?
I wouldn't say I ordered, but I think one is on the way. But again, I will not speak for anybody here.
Well, if you do get one, I hope you will let us know, and we'll be happy to post any pictures or any thoughts you have on what it is like to actually have your very own Cuddle Me Yagi in your hands. And I'm sure that Yogg-Saron on Twitter will not be at all jealous if you have, you know, an actual one of him in your hands.
Yeah, somehow I get the feeling, yeah, that'll he won't mind.
So, tell us about your character in-game.
In-game, you know, okay, let me just do a disclaimer here, because actually a reader contacted me in-game yesterday about this. I am not a good player of the game. I never claimed to be. I am not level 80. I've raided, like, 5 mans, and I'm still walking around in Kleenex box Outland gear. But in-game, level 67, female Tauren Druid. I was 100% feral up until the last patch went through, and we all had to respec. And I threw a little bit of Restro into the build. It's just that a lot of my questing is done either solo or with, like, 2 or 3 other people. Mostly Kisless and another guildmate, Chibina, a troll rogue. Actually, Kisless, you're in the chat room. What is Chibina spec'd as? I have no idea. And yeah, I don't know. It's I'm on a PvP server, and I'm sorry, I hate it. I hate PvP with the flaming passion of 1,000 suns. I'm not good at it. Oh, dagger. Okay. I'm not good at it. I don't enjoy it. And I, being a druid, I'm a nice, squishy, easy target for really any class of any spec. And I hate it. But I love the people I quest with, and the server is actually pretty good, but, you know, nothing you can do about it. Hey, you know, roll with the punches as you go, except, like, that warlock who camped me yesterday and teabagged me. Thank you very much. Sigh.
Could we ask what server you are on?
I'm on Kil'jaeden US, obviously.
That's right. I actually started out on Mannoroth,
really?
Which is one of the original big PvP servers, and that didn't last very long. I think I got to level 39. I didn't even last to 40 to get my mount at the time before I dropped that tune and moved over to Argent Dawn, because it was infinitely better from just a few hours of playing on there. I was like, hey, I can do stuff, and I don't get killed, except for those guys, but I can kill them. But yeah, not being camped is better.
For sure. Actually, my first intro to the game with Kisless and actually my former guild leader and the guy who codes my site, I started out on Delvinger, which was a very pretty quiet server, actually, all things considered, but still PvP. Then after the old guild, effectively disbanded, a real-life friend of mine and her boyfriend were like, well, hey, we're going to start up new characters again on Kil'jaeden. Why don't you come on over? So I was like, well, hey, why not? But I love my friends to death. They're the most fantastic people in the world. But the second they lose interest in the game, or they're like, we're going to throw in the towel and call it a quits, I am blowing $30 and going to a PvE server.
Well, I, for one, would welcome you on Argent Dawn. But it's an RP server, so please throw.
I'm cool with RP. I don't know if I, you know, honestly, yeah, I'm cool other ways. I RP in-game anyways. People seem so surprised when they're like, you RP on a PvP server? I'm like, yeah, there aren't any rules. It's not like anyone's going to be like, oh, you're PvP, or you're RPing. Like, whatever. Play the game I want.
Yeah, I tried to RP on Mannoroth, and people just made it impossible.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
just wasn't worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, people can be wieners anyways, no matter what server you go on. And it's like, if you get along with the people, like, it doesn't matter what server, if you're on, like, 100% PvP or PvE or whatever. I mean, if you're with good people, then you can RP any time of the day. But that's just me.
Okay, well, that is about it. I have one last question, though. Can you come up with a new name for our new non-combat pet mascot, the squirrel here? Because everybody's saying it's really creepy, so maybe if I get a name for him, it'll be a little bit better for people.
After our troll rogue, who is actually the the definitive squirrel expert. You should call him Chibina.
Chibina. Okay. All right. So the squirrel's new name is Chibina, then. Anyways, thank you very much for coming on the show, Canistra. And on behalf of everybody who's a fan of your comic, I want to thank you very much for all the hard work you put in. It is awesome to see the comic every week. And I'm begging you on behalf of all of your fans, don't take any more time off again, please.
Sure.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a huge honor. Well, I'm on All Things Azeroth.
All right. And yeah, so this will be on the show probably within a week or two. So, all right, folks. Now, before we get on with the rest of the news, I did want to discuss just a moment the poll. Now, the poll this week and last week as well was which Alliance Tournament pet should Medros get? Now, the options were Amonvale Lashing, Telgrisil Sproutling, Elwynn Sheep, Dunmurrow Cub, or Mechanopeep. The other option was for the Horde. Now, I'm fairly certain that some of the Horde-loving audience in the All Things Azeroth community decided they were going to hack the vote of some sort, because up until a few hours before the show today, Mechanopeep was leading the race, and I'm sad to say that right now, the for the Horde option now has won the poll. Now, I'm very disturbed and very sad that the Horde players out there felt they had to hack the vote and change the outcome of this poll, and I'm very disappointed. I'm very, very, very sad to see the players felt they had to do this. So I may consider putting up another poll asking should players have hacked the vote or something of the sort, or maybe I'll even put up a poll saying what Horde pet should a Horde player get. And I do expect to put up an Alliance-loving option there, and I do hope that my Alliance players will show their support and vote for the Alliance pet. So I just wanted to clarify that I'm very disappointed in the Horde players out there for hacking the vote. Now for the news. And welcome back, and I'm glad that you guys stuck around through that interview. Again, Kadisha's an awesome artist. Check her out at WowEh, that's WOWEH.com. And at the beginning of the show, you heard her and Kisless, who is the person who plays the Blood Elf Paladin in the comic. And it's a really awesome comic. Check it out and just see how awesome she is, because really, she's one of the best comics that I've read in a long time. So, moving right along from that, ironically, we are told that this site is currently unavailable, but when you guys all hear this on the podcast feed, this site should be back up by then. WoW Insider, as I mentioned before, did get a new change. They changed to WoW.com. They got a new, whole new look, and I actually personally liked their old look. What did you think of the change they made there, Chris?
I like the fact that you could now create your own login and link your characters. You know, it gives you a little bit of individuality within the website. And I like the idea that you can create your own blog. Yeah, I agree with you. I never had a problem personally with the old WoW Insider, but I'm willing to give this one a shot.
You know, I was actually considering for a brief time asking them, please, please, please let me use your old look, because I like your old look. For those who don't follow me on Twitter, and if you don't, how dare you? But for those who don't actually follow me on Twitter, I'm actually starting up a new podcast. All Things Azeroth is not going anywhere. We will still be here. But this is actually going to be a monthly roundtable podcast. It's called Group Quest. And it's going to be, I think, an awesome podcast. What we'll do is every month we'll bring together a few members of the community, three or four people, just to talk about World of Warcraft, hot topics, big news, or big theories. Some of the topics that I have planned for the first episode are turning out to be very awesome, and I do hope that everybody will stay tuned for that. That's at allthingsazeroth.com/groupquest, and I do hope we'll see some of you over there tuning in when we do go live. I think our first episode is going to be going live sometime on Saturday, May 30th, which will be shortly after this podcast episode is released, so hopefully we'll see you all there. Will you tune into that podcast there, Chris?
You know I will.
Awesome to hear. Now, right on the heels of patch 3.1.2 being released, we got information about patch 3.2. Wow. Didn't take very long for that to happen, did it, Chris?
No, and yeah, they've been kind of quiet about 3.2 ever since the beginning. It's interesting to get any information at all out.
That is very true. 3.2 from BlizzCon of last year has been a very big mystery. We knew what 3.1 was. It was going to be Alduar. We know what 3.3 is going to be. It's going to be Ice Crown Citadel. We know there's only going to be three major content patches, which is 3.1, 3.2, and 3.3. And they always said 3.2 was going to be the big mystery. And we have more information about that now. Basically, what it's going to be is it's going to be expanding on the Argent Tournament. The Argent Coliseum will be finally finished. That's that big thing in Ice Crown that they're building. Well, that's going to be done in this patch. In that, there's going to be more daily quests, more rewards, more stuff that you can do. And we're going to have not only a 5-man, but also a 10 and 25-man dungeon. They're equating it sort of to what we see at, like, Ring of Blood and the Violet Hold and just those kind of, you know, facing multiple bosses in a short period of time. What do you think of that idea of a sort of really of a gladiator style of content?
Well, actually, Violet Hold's probably one of my favorite instances in the game right now, just because you can get in, get out. It's got a set amount of time. You know what you're getting into. Whereas if you pug Halls of Stone, it may be an hour. It may be 3 hours, depending on your luck. I like the idea of this 5, 10, 25. You know, lore-wise, I think, you know, we've been up here in this corner of Ice Crown building this stuff for a while. I think the Lich King's finally going to catch notice of it, and I think his reaction is going to be what entails 3.2.
That's very true, and they actually did say that somebody's guess of 3.3 being out sometime middle of next year, it was Ghostcrawler or Bornak, one of the two, mentioned that is actually a inflated, exaggerated timeline, so it's quite possible that we will see 3.2, maybe even, you know, July or August. Would you like to see more content that soon?
Well, I think a normal person will get to the point with the Argent Tournament come into July, beginning of August, where if he really wants to be a Crusader, he's going to get there. You're going to lack any reason to do the dailies other than just pure gold by that point. I think that big middle of the curve is going to hit that point in July or August, and that's going to be a good time to bring it out.
That's a good point. I mean, really, everybody who wants something from the tournament should be done by then. That'll be a perfect time for them to bring out new quests, new dailies, and new rewards. What could they possibly bring out as new rewards? We have weapons, we have gear, we have mounts, we have pets. What is there left that they could bring out?
Well, my theory is that we're finally going to see something come out of the Sun Reavers and the Alliance equivalent, which is Silver Covenant. You know, we've been gaining rep for them all throughout the Argent Tournament on each side, and they still don't have a quartermaster. I think we're going to get a new series of items open up, and it's going to give us an additional reason to fight.
Well, that'll be very interesting. I mean, I would love to be able to see some new stuff coming out in regards to the new instance they'll be adding in. I would also love to be able to see some new pets and mounts, which is what Blue Scar in our chat room has been saying is probably going to happen, and I have to agree, it's probably likely. I would love to be able to get a silver hippogriff, or whatever they want to call it. That would be very cool. I would love to see that. But in the end, we'll have to wait and see. 3.2, I think, if it does come out, it'll probably come out in a few months. Like you said, everybody who wants anything from there will have what they need to get what they want. When you're getting 5 to 8 different seals each day, it doesn't take very long to get everything you want, especially if you're doing every single one of them every day. And we still haven't seen the promised fix, sort of, to the fact that once you hit the champion of the tournament, you're limited in how many dailies you can do out of the tournament. So maybe they will open up those again in a small minor patch, which has been promised before 3.2 does come out. Or maybe they'll just change that when 3.2 comes out. We will have to wait and see on that, and I'm really excited to see what 3.2 will hold. Beyond just the Argent Tournament stuff, though, we have been promised that 3.2 will also have a new battleground. That'll be the Isle of Conquest. A new large-scale siege battleground will be open. The Horde Alliance will battle head-to-head for control of strategic resources and lay siege to the keeps of their opponents. Now, this has been described by some of the Blizzard community managers as sort of an Alterac Valley meets Arathi Basin or Warsong Gulch or maybe Wintergrasp. I can't remember. I think it was actually Wintergrasp and Alterac Valley combined kind of thing. Do you think it's a time for a new battleground, or do they have too many already?
I think we have too many already, but the problem is nobody's playing the old ones and everybody's playing the new ones. I think it's time for a new battleground, but I also think it might be time to start retiring some of these old ones and adjust rep accordingly in terms of the requirements for the gear.
That's true. I really think that Warsong Gulch has had its time. Arathi Basin can be retired any time. Ultrak Valley, I think, should have been retired instead of the most recent changes they made to it. I understand that some people still love those, and that's great. I think you should put a cap on it, basically. I think that Warsong Gulch should not be playable past 70. I think that Arathi Basin should be the same. Ultrak Valley should be no longer playable past 75. So that all you can play after that is the one from Burning Crusade, Eye of the Storm.
Eye of the Storm.
You can't. The only you can play is Eye of the Storm, Strand of the Ancients, and this new one. That should be the only three places you can be, and the arenas after level 75. And that, I think, would make it so that you really have a more even approach to Battlegrounds, so that you can have, you know, this week is Warsong Gulch and Eye of the Storm weekend, and then next weekend will be Arathi Basin and Strand of the Ancients, so that we don't have to have the PvP weekend schedule take 3 months.
I honestly, if I'm going to farm honor, I'm going to go to Alderac Valley, I'm going to go to Strand of the Ancients, and I'm going to go to Wintergrasp. The only reason anybody ever goes to Warsong Gulch or Arathi Basin is because they actually need the tokens for armor or such. I like your idea of maybe putting an honor cap, just like an experience cap, for instancing. You know, if you go into Warsong Gulch, you can only gain honor until you're level 20, and then Arathi Basin, maybe you only gain honor until you're level 30. That'd be a way of queuing up the battlegrounds to get people used to PvP.
But yeah, I think they have to do something. I don't think they can keep adding battlegrounds until they're blue in the face, because at some point they will run out of a way for players to actually make use of those battlegrounds. I mean, if they start any more, right now they have what? They have 6 battlegrounds. If they add any more, nobody's going to be playing any of them, because people will only be queuing up for ones they want. They won't be queuing up for all of them, and most players will not be able to get into them.
Yeah, and you're already seeing that now. I would say, you know, World of Warcraft is a PvE game with a good PvP component. But not everybody, all the 12 million people that play World of Warcraft are playing PvP. So you have a small number of people. You know, right now we're queuing up for 5 battlegrounds. Come 3.2, we're going to be queuing up for 6. It's going to take you an hour to get into Warsong Gulch, and everybody's going to be able to get into Isle of Conquest in 5 minutes. So there's something needs to be done in that respect.
Very true, and I do hope that Blizzard does find a solution for it. Now, we were talking about this in the pre-show. One thing I wanted to make note of is that this week, the first U.S. guild to be able to access Algolon did so. That is the Premonition Guild. And I find this ironic that this is happening a week after the first guild in Europe, Insidia, downed Algolon in 10-man mode. Now, I asked this on Twitter, and a lot of people just kind of said, well, that's kind of how the Europeans are. And there is points to be made that Insidia is paid to play World of Warcraft. Many of their players do get compensation, so they don't have to have a job or as, you know, hard of a job as most other people. They can have a part-time job and still pay their bills. So that's definitely something to take into consideration. But is there something we need to look into a little more about this? Because it just seems a little odd to me that one guild can down a boss before the other side of the world, which gets it first, has even a chance at it. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I think you have to almost discount Insidia. Yeah, they are unique unto themselves, unto the world. I'm curious to see who the second guild to kill Algolon's going to be. It's such a big feat to actually do. You have to get all the hard modes down. You have to almost have a perfect run all the way through, and then you only have an hour to do it. I think I want to see who the second team to do it, and who the third team, and how long it takes them to do it, because Insidia is just, they're a beast. They're massive. They do this for a living, and they're frankly the awesomest World of Warcraft players probably on the planet.
That's very true. I have to wonder what Insidia does that it earns them these kind of things, but, you know, I congratulate them, and I do hope Premonition is the next guild that downs Algolon, but we'll have to wait and see who the U.S. first is for Algolon defeating. But congratulations to Premonition for finally opening them up. And I do hope that we can finally see North America take a little bit of the headlines that Europe seems to get so very often. Now, there was a post actually that came out today regarding a post from Ghostcrawler. Now, in the next upcoming minor patch, before 3.2 hits, they have said that jewel crafting will be getting a nerf. One of the things that will be nerfed is that the dragon's eye cuts that jewel crafters can make will no longer be prismatic. So if you create a runed dragon's eye, it will have to be put into a red slot, or it will not count towards any meta gem requirements or a socket bonus. Now, I understand that this is possibly overpowered in some cases, but I would like to point out that this is the one small benefit that jewel crafters have received, whereas most other professions have had very little to stand in their way. Jewel crafters have in Northrend have to get rep with all of the factions to get crafting recipes, whereas no other professions have this many profession recipes on rep vendors, from the Sons of Hodir to the Kirin Tor to Argent Crusade, Ebon Blade, Wormrest Accord, and more. Even the Kalawak have recipes, I believe, for the jewel crafters out there at Revered, at the very least, if not Exalted. Jewel crafters also only are able to get tokens for their profession once every day, whereas leather workers get Arctic furs, which can be, if you can go out and spend 12 hours skinning, you're going to get a lot of Arctic furs. If you are a enchanter, if you can find somebody who will make you the blues, you can get dream shards without a problem to trade them in for enchanting recipes. Cooking, you get extra cooking, Dalaran cooking awards. Every profession that has currency-based tokens in Northrend has a way to earn extras, except for jewel crafting. So this is the one thing that made jewel crafting worth it for some players. And I'm very disappointed in Blizzard for taking away that one small benefit to being a jewel crafter. I know many players who have pretty much stopped leveling their jewel crafting, have stopped trying to earn any further reputations or working towards any further recipes because it's just not worth it anymore. Do you think that Blizzard is being fair or doing the right thing in this, Chris?
I think they're actually going a little bit in the opposite direction than I think they should. I think in Wrath of the Lich King, they really nerfed all of the professions a bit. I can remember back in Vanilla WoW days, if you were a tailor or an enchanter and you were top level, you got almost equivalent gear to some of the raiding stuff. Jewel crafting is one of these things where it takes so long to get to the point where you can actually make anything valuable. And this nerf, you know, if you're going to nerf this, maybe we should start looking at engineering goggles and things like that. Things that the people at the top of their profession can use. That's the way I'm seeing it.
I really think that jewel crafting is the one profession in Wrath that really has suffered the most. I really don't understand why Blizzard did that. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And in the end, I really can't say why. There is no research for jewel crafters. There is no easing up on jewel crafters. I go to the auction house to look for any recipes that my jewel crafter doesn't know that are world drops. And I'm looking at 5 to 6 grand per recipe. Back in Burning Crusade, I thought maybe 400 or 500 was a lot of money to spend on a recipe. So looking at recipes that high, there is no way that I'm going to be buying them, no matter how much gold I have. I have much better things I can do with my gold, no matter how much I have, than to spend it on recipes that might earn me 5 gold and a tip if I'm lucky and find somebody generous. Nobody tips for very much anymore for jewel crafting. It's just not worth it as a profession if you're in it to make money.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of unique still that jewel crafting is relying on world drops and even PvP drops and such, whereas you know, the rest of the professions can go up and drop down your Arctic Fur or drop down your Dream Shards, and you can level up to 440 pretty, you know, it's a nice steady, it's limited to the amount of money you have, whereas you're really struggling with jewel crafting at the topmost layer.
Yeah, I mean, I know that on my jewel crafter, he's a Drenai, so we had the extra 5 points. To get him to his max level, I needed to make, I think it was like 13 or 14 icy prisms. That is like 100 gold for the frozen orb, plus the gems that required. I had plenty of those, so that wasn't a big deal. But it was still a lot of gold to put into my profession to max it out. And there's nothing out there at the max level. There is no epics. And they're taking away the really good cuts right now. They're making them far less of a worthwhile potential to purchase them. At this point, I don't really see why I would spend the 3 tokens to get the recipe and a dragon's eye when it's going to be worthless in the next patch. I'm hoping that Blizzard changed their mind.
Yeah, they really have disincentivized professions in general in Wrath of the Lich King, I think. Several of my characters are sitting in that 420 to 440 range, and I look at the patterns in front of me, and nothing really tells me to go and get those in-level things, because it's just not worth it compared to 5-man gear or 10 or 25-man gear.
Very true. There is some disparity in the professions, and I do hope that instead of nerfing jewel crafting, Blizzard decides to give it a little bit of a buff to make it equal to the rest of the professions. And I hope if there's any other issues out there with other professions, admittedly, that I don't do, I'm hoping that Blizzard will fix those as well. It's really not fair to have some professions not be as equal or as good as others. So hopefully we'll see a solution to that.
I hope so.
Anyways, moving right along, just before the show was released, we did see a post up on WoW.com just before it died on us, basically letting us know that while they have buffed the raid dungeons to try and make them more desirable to get into for many players, from changing the emblems to, you know, different levels of emblems to make it so that players actually want to go into the higher level dungeons, and going all the way down to changing how some of the dungeons work with the hard modes and so on, making them more easier for players to get into, but hard modes for people to challenge themselves on. Blizzard is looking at ways to make the 5-mans easier as well. What do you think of this story there, Chris?
Well, to be honest, you know, I'm one of these people that hasn't even been in all the 5-mans yet. You know, I'm walking around with tier 7.5 shoulders and pants, but I haven't been in Halls of Lightning yet. I haven't been in Halls of Stone yet. There's a lot of stuff in the game in terms of the dungeons that people just don't run. I don't know why it is. If you can find any run, it's going to be a heroic. You know, people aren't not going to, for some reason, people, if it's not a Violet Hold, and they don't know, they know that they can get out of there in a half an hour, you know, they're just not willing to invest time in a pug or even in a guild group for such a small gain.
That's very true, and I do hope they work on the idea of the 5-mans. Would you be in favor for like hard modes like the timed run in Culling of Stratholme for 5-mans?
I would be. You know, I think the real answer is to make the gear reward worth the effort. Even in heroic mode, you're going to get a blue, and a purple at the end. You got to make that purple worth going in and getting.
Very true. I don't believe that a lot of 5-mans have the reward for the amount of work, especially some of the really tough ones. And Blizzard really couldn't predict what players would find really tough. It's really hard to say, yeah, okay, we think that this is going to be really good, but this is going to be really hard. It's very difficult to go there. But I think that Blizzard will find a solution. They'll make those 5-mans more desirable, whether they'll go back and re-itemize maybe or adjust some of the stats on some of that gear, I don't know. But I'm hoping that Blizzard does find a fix for it and chooses a path that is going to encourage people to go into 5-mans in addition to their raids, instead of feeling that they're forced to go into 5-mans to supplement their raids.
Yeah, I think they've fixed a problem and created a new problem. You and I can remember back in Vanilla WoW where you had to run Stratholme, and in the end, you're hoping that piece of your Dungeon Zero set drops. And it wasn't a badge, and it wasn't a token or anything, you know. You just hope that piece of cloth dropped. And if it didn't drop, you had to turn around and you had to do that dungeon all the way over again. So, in essence, in Vanilla WoW, you had to grind for your set pieces at that Dungeon Zero set. Now, in Wrath of the Lich King, yes, you have the badge incentive, but really, there's no incentive to grind instances anymore. Other than maybe, you know, that's why everybody does Violet Hold. It's easy, it's a half hour. If you're going to grind anything, you're going to grind that. We got to have some additional incentive to get into these dungeons and work them through a bit.
Very true, and I do hope that we will see, you know, I don't want to see a return to the 0.5 sets of Vanilla WoW. Honestly, the sets, in my opinion, weren't as good as they could have been. They were very spec-specific. For instance, if you were a Rhett Paladin, I know there may have actually been one or two of them in Vanilla WoW. If you were a Rhett Paladin back then and you had the tier 0 set, you wanted to upgrade in the 0.5 stuff that they had introduced at one point or another, you couldn't do it. There was literally no way to upgrade to a DPS-based 0.5 spec because all that quest gave you was the upgrade for the tier 0 Paladin desired set, which was crap for a Rhett Paladin at the time. Even back then, it was still crap.
Right,
there was really no way.
Okay, well then, would you say that maybe something like a token system would work? It seems to be working really well in the raid environment now, where you get your token shoulders, so that at the end of the dungeon you get a token piece, and one person out of that instance gets to take the token back and turn it in for something specific to themselves.
I would be in favor of that, yes. I would be in favor of a token style of system. Maybe not specifically like they have, like, I would say a 5-man dungeon token system that was any player from this dungeon can take this token and return it to a vendor no matter what class you are. So I understand that raids have a certain style, but you gotta remember, a 5-man only has 1 in 5 chance of actually using a token, even if there are three to four classes that can use that token. So I think that if they're going to use a token system for 5-mans, they need to make it this is your helm token, this is your shoulder token, this is your chest token, this is a druid priest paladin token for a chest, and this is a priest warlock death knight token for a piece of cloth. For every player, every player in there can roll on the same one. That's the only way I think a 5-man token system could work.
Right. That makes perfect sense. That's a great idea. I can remember going in Stratholme and we get to the end and the dungeon 0 set piece for a shaman drops and we didn't have any shamans. So you got to make it universal. That's a good idea. Put one in the end of Halls of Lightning, put another in the end of Halls of Stone. That would give people reason to even go into things now.
Well, even if it's not that plentiful, make it a 5-piece thing. One will be in Culling of Stratholme, one will be in Halls of Lightning, one will be in Utgard Pinnacle, one will be in Oculus, and I can't think of... Is there another one? I can't remember if there's any other dungeons. The 5-man in the Argent Tournament. There we go. There's your 5 tokens, and that will encourage players to go to every single one of them and encourage players to actually go to those things, so that if you run those anyway, you're going to get tokens, you're going to get better gear, you will get epics, and you'll get set bonuses. And for those people who are... And those for those people in our chat room who perhaps maybe tier whores that have to have every single tier token or tier gear set out there that there is possibly for their class, they will be able to find a way to do that. Not that I'm talking to anybody specific, right, Bluescar? this goes back to a chat me and Bluescar had in game earlier. And I see Kadistra has just joined our chat room. So welcome to the chat room, Kadistra.
Right. And Blizzard, when you come up with this idea, you heard it on All Things Azeroth.
Very true, very true. Give us credit. I would be happy to take an NPC at the Argent Tournament handing out those tokens. That would be fine by me.
Excellent.
Anyways, I think that's about all our stories today. Is there anything else you wanted to say there, Chris?
No, I've been listening to the show for a while. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad to help you out here. I have a podcast that I can push before we leave.
Awesome. Well, why don't you mention that podcast? And
okay.
We'll encourage our listeners to go over there and check it out.
Right. We do not do a World of Warcraft podcast, so some of you can zone out right now. But some of you that may like to do more adult ventures, we do wine reviews. We have a small group of people that get together every Friday night. We open up a bottle of wine and we review it. We talk about the day's events and we have some fun. The website is www.eastcoastwinegeeks.com. You can check us out there or on Podcast Alley or on iTunes.
Awesome. And I'll make sure I get a link off of you for that and put it up in the show notes when the episode does go live. Again, if you guys are looking for the group podcast that, again, we'll be recording probably this coming Saturday, May the 30th, 30th, no idea what time yet, stay tuned on Twitter to the All Things As account, or myself, Medros, on Twitter, and I hope to have a great panel for the first episode. And that'll again be a monthly podcast. It will not be a weekly one, so no big pressure to get it out every week kind of thing. It's just kind of a roundtable discussion just to talk about what is going on in the world of Warcraft. We would talk, you know, maybe about what might have caused the European side of the game to be quicker in defeating the end of the Old War instance before the North American side. We might talk about which class is better, which profession is better, which profession is the least advanced, whatever. There's a lot of things we can talk about, so do stay tuned to that and check it out. That's allthingsazeroth.com/groupquest. You can check us, All Things Azeroth, out at iTunes and review us there. We've got some really awesome reviews there. We've got some not so good reviews there. We are taking several of the criticisms into the show to try and improve them, so we do hope that you'll notice those improvements starting today. If you want to check out our guild, it's Pornography on the Echo Isles Hortside realm. If you contact Bacos, B-A-C-O-E-S, or myself, Orgthar, O-R-R-I-G-T-H-A-R, or any other officer or member of the guild, we'll be happy to try and shoot you an invite as soon as we can. If you want to send us an email, that email is show@allthingsazeroth for the show itself, for general emails. If you want to send specific emails, send them to myself, medros@allthingsazeroth.com, or send them to grace@allthingsazeroth.com. If you want to check out our blogs, that's allthingsazeroth.com/medros or allthingsazeroth.com/grace. Again, Twitter, allthingsaz is the show, medros is myself, and grace, G-R-A-E-C-E, is Grace's Twitter account. Check us out on Ning. That Ning is azeroth.com/Ning, and we'll be happy to discuss things on with you. We know there was some unpleasant spam on there. It has been solved, and the offending account has been banned. We do apologize for that. If you want to go on Facebook, we have a show fan page. We have myself, we have Grace on there. Check out the show notes for those links. Lastly, if you are looking for a web host, please definitely check out our host. It's dreamhost.com. We use them for all of our hosting, for all of our sites, and we do really, really enjoy working with them. They are an awesome host, and we do recommend them. If you want to, we have discount codes. Malygos, that's M-A-L-Y-G-O-S, just like the aspect of the Blue Dragonflight. You can use that for no setup on a monthly account. If you use the Crassus code, that'll give you 2 months of free hosting on an extended account, and Tyrion will give you $50 off of a one-year hosting account. So check those out, and check the show notes if you need those spelling of those words, because they're all there every time. And I think that's about it for this episode of All Things Azeroth. Thank you very much, Chris, for stepping in this Memorial Day in the United States, and for your help in putting the show together.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
All right. And so take care, everybody. Happy hunting, and see you in Outlands and beyond. This has been a Dwight Walbridge production. Copyright 2009.